Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until... until midnight. That's Sunday night's program. You get caught into a certain way of saying things, but I'll be with you till 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word, and kind of snuck up on me here with the start. Pastor Lutz was heading out of the studio there, and so we were chatting a few minutes between the programs as he was clearing his stuff out and I was clearing my stuff out, and just trying to get everything together here. But as I said, Pastor Al Davis, I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and certainly invite you to visit us there. We're located midway between Akron and Cleveland. We're right where the Ohio Turnpike intersects with Interstate 77. And in fact, you can look out the meeting room where we meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, and you can see the toll booths from the turnpike. We're that close. So, all right. Well, good to be with you today. And as I going to mention, too, you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And because I'm running a few moments here behind and getting everything set up, we will be live streaming, and I'm trying to multitask right here, but live streaming on YouTube, and you can go to YouTube and you can search for Live with Pastor Al. You can find our channel on YouTube, and you can subscribe to that, actually, and you can watch past programs there, and I think we've got everything set. I generally feed those over to the Facebook page as well, but it takes a few moments because I have to get everything going before we can do that, and then once I get the YouTube live going, then I have to go and feed the little things over, and everything seems to be moving relatively smoothly here today, so it's moving along. But again, just by way of announcements too, you can... As I said, you can follow us online. Our church is currently still having meetings and talking with Pastor Lutz, and I know with their situation, they are not meeting in person at the moment, and that's fine. Every church, I believe, should do as the Lord leads them and as their current situation shows, and good to hear that they're looking at coming back for their in-person services in May. But my wife and I were talking. My wife, as many of our listeners know, is an RN, and fortunately, she is not working in any facilities where she has to deal with this coronavirus on a regular basis. And it's not to say that we don't know anybody that hasn't had it or is currently having it, and so we don't downplay the seriousness of it. Except that in terms of the numbers that are being given, certainly aren't anything like what was forecast a month ago, even 2 weeks ago. But we had the conversation that should my wife be in a situation where she would be exposed, then of course I would likely be in a situation to be exposed to it as well. And under those circumstances, we would have to cancel our services in person and just do live. So we're not adverse to canceling if it has to be done. And so in some cases it has to be done. Some cases it's the wisest course of action. And in other cases, God leads. Many churches are still meeting, and many churches are still being able to negotiate the recommendations and to be able to maintain social distancing, hand washing, no handshaking, no hugging, and no holy kissing going on, all that sort of stuff. But, again, your church needs to do as it sees fit, guided by the Lord. Well, welcome to the program today, and I was hoping to have Alan Jenkins, representing Nehemiah Network, on with us today, but he had some other engagements come up that prevent him from being on, so he will be on with us Sunday night at 11 o'clock during the first half hour of our program, Sunday night, right here on AM 1220, The Word. And so do tune in if you get the chance, because he's going to be talking about the things that they are doing there through the Nehemiah's Network, and they are collecting supplies, food, and different things to provide to people that that have some needs, and they are collecting. What they're specifically looking for is canned food, toiletries, cleaning supplies, things of that nature. They can always use money to buy things that they need, and they can be dropped off at their warehouse, which is located at 4488 West 160th Street. That's 4488 West 160th Street in Cleveland. And there is a drop box that's out there. And they also have some pickup service available if need be. And this is where I would give you the number for that, but I don't have that in front of me right at the moment. I'll hopefully find that while I'm here on the program. But you can just, the easiest way to find out the phone number, if you'd like, is just to go online, find Columbia Road Baptist Church there in North Olmsted. Nehemiah's Network is a ministry of the Columbia Road Baptist Church, and if you go to their website, you'll be able to find them, and you will be able to get in touch with them. And like I said, Alan Jenkins is going to be on the radio with me Sunday night. We'll be talking about Nehemiah's Network, what they've been able to do. Another interesting thing that they're doing, and we have some people in our church who've been involved in this as well, is people are sewing cloth masks. If you've been out and about, you've probably seen people with the cloth masks, and other people with the regular masks that they've bought in the stores and things like that. And please, if you're out and if you don't have the coronavirus, if you do, you shouldn't be out and about. A friend of mine was telling me at church last weekend that a lady went into a store to the pharmacy to pick up some drugs and announced to people that she had the coronavirus. And it's just like, okay, why were you even out there? You could have sent somebody. You could have called the store. They could have made a delivery. If you have it, you should not be out. But you see people with these respirators and the M95s and things that should be reserved for doctors, nurses, aides, first responders. I was at the grocery store the other day, and I saw several people with them walking around. Don't wear it to the grocery store. You're wasting them. Other people need them more than you need one of those in the grocery store. If you're that concerned about getting something that you feel you have to wear that, call a grocery store and have them deliver your groceries. Most of the stores around the area do that, or send somebody to the store for you. Cloth masks are fine. And if you have some of these cloth masks that people are making, I think some people are looking into them as quite the fashion statement anymore. And so you'll see some pretty colorful ones, and you can wear that. But remember, the biggest purpose of the mask is not to keep you from getting it. It's to keep you from spreading the virus should you have it and not know it. And it also cuts down on the spread of flu viruses, because if you cough or sneeze or something like that, the mask will prevent it from spreading around to those around you. So if you feel the need to wear a mask, just make sure you keep the good ones for the people who need them, that are working in the hospitals, the first responders, working in the nursing homes, different ones. And certainly my heart goes out to the people working in the nursing homes. They are some of the hardest hit facilities in the state of Ohio. And it partly is because of the close conditions there, and the fact that you're dealing with a vulnerable population. So do pray for the folks. Our church normally goes into, it used to be called Pine Valley, now it's called Blue Stream in Richfield. We go there every week, but except, well, for the last month or more, they have been completely shut down. And so, you know, we're not able to get in. And I understand why, but we pray for them. If your church has a nursing home ministry, I hope you're still praying for those that are there in the nursing home. And as you get the opportunity, there are things that you can do. Early on, we sent some thinking of you cards, and we put some, you know, different people in the church signed them, and we just put the church name on them, and we put together enough cards. We were able to give a card to every resident of the nursing home. And then for Easter, we have a gentleman in our church who does some origami stuff, and several years ago put together a template where when he folds it up into the form of like a lily, It has the name of our church on it, but it also has, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son on the panels around the base of the lily, and then God loves you, and some things like that on the petals of the lily, and then just a little thing with our church name on there. And we handed a bunch, put some bags of those together, and dropped them off at the local nursing home this past Sunday, on Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. We dropped them off and got some feedback that a lot of the residents really enjoyed getting them. So there's things that you can do to brighten up the life of some of the people in the nursing homes, even if you yourself are not able to get in. And whatever the Lord leads you to do, that you can share the love of God and be a witness for Christ as you do it. Well, we shouldn't be overcome with fear and distress during this time. We look to the Lord, and we continue to do the best that we can to represent Christ and to be salt and light, as the Bible says, in a dark place. And certainly the world is getting darker all the time, and we need to be out there doing what we can as much as possible to represent Christ in the world around us. And just because there's a bacteria, it doesn't make any difference. We are not called to be a witness and a testimony for Christ only in times of non-pandemic conditions. We are called to be a representative of Christ in all things at all times. And I wanted to kind of bounce off from something that I was talking about this past Sunday night. We were talking about it a bit at our church. We were talking about it not only at our church, but also on the radio this past Sunday night. And there's a number of people out there who believe that it is wrong for any church under any circumstance to be meeting right now. And these run from average folks to governors and political leaders. And I'm thankful that here in Ohio, Governor DeWine has said that he is not going to prevent churches from meeting. He strongly encourages churches not to meet. And that's unlike down in Kentucky, for instance, where the governor of Kentucky sent the state police out to churches that were having services, you know, something like a drive-in service. And I know a lot of folks in our listening audience attended drive-in services this past Sunday, you're in your own car. You've got social distancing. You're not interacting with people physically, but you're able to be there and see one another. And usually the case is they have a low-power FM broadcaster, you tune into the right station on your car radio, and you can listen to the message and listen to the service in your car, and it gets you a chance to get out a little bit. And they were doing this, planning on doing this for Easter in Kentucky, and the governor had the state police go out and take down license numbers, car license plate numbers, and then they basically gave a notice to everybody that they were letting the health department look. Their local health department know that they were engaged in unsafe practices and that they needed to be quarantined for 2 weeks. How about that? And then we had, of course, the mayor down in Greenville, South Carolina, that sent the police out to give $500 tickets, not a $25 ticket or a $50 ticket, but $500 tickets to everybody that was attending a church drive-in service. They were in their cars, windows up, listening to the message, and when the police came in and started ticketing people. And, thankfully they've backed off on that. The Department of Justice has gotten involved, and so people are starting to, at least stand up to some of these unjust actions. The First Amendment did not say that we have these rights unless there's a pandemic. There were many things going on at the time, and there's many things that have gone on throughout the history of Christianity where it has been dangerous to go to church. There are times in the first century, if you remember, I mentioned this on the radio last Sunday night, if you remember the Apostle Paul, what he was doing prior to his conversion. The Apostle Paul, as Saul, remember before he had his name changed, he was persecuting the church. He was hauling people off to prison. He was there when Stephen was martyred for the cause of Christ. The early Christians in the book of Acts, they realized that going to meet together, to have services, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 42 says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They did this knowing full well when the persecution came, knowing full well that they could indeed be arrested, they could be beaten, they could be fined, they could be even, as in the case of Stephen, executed. And we see that the early church members were arrested and beaten in Acts chapter 5. And verse number in Acts chapter 5, where the apostles were preaching, Peter and I believe it was John were preaching, and it says in verse 17, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they had heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought out. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Now think about this. They were told and not to preach the gospel. They were told not to preach in Jesus' name. They had been ordered. Let me go back a little bit here to chapter 4, Acts chapter 4, and we see Paul and John, I believe, standing before the council here in Acts chapter 4. It says in verse 13, now when they saw the boldness And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. And they said, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. So they did not like what was being said. They did not like the message that was going out. They did not like these early believers meeting. And so the authorities said that you are not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Well, in verse 19, Acts chapter 4, verse 9 says, But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. And so it says, when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. So they had been sent out once before with this warning. Now they had been apprehended again. They had been thrown into the prison. Well, what did they do when God delivered them from the prison? Well, they didn't run and hide in fear. Instead, they went back right into the temple again. They began preaching the word of God again. And so when they found, when the authorities found them not in the prison, and then word came to them in Acts chapter 5 that they were in the temple preaching again, it says this in verse number 27, when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And we don't have time to get into it, but of course we understand that there are a number of passages that talks about obeying authorities and talking about obeying the civil authorities. And we understand that that is right. And really just about any time, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be unto the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Now, does that mean that Peter and John were wrong when they stood up to the council here? Did that mean that God changed his mind and later Peter said, no, you should submit in everything? No, the principle here is they had asked the council, you know, judge for yourselves, is it better to obey God or is it better to obey men? And when they went back and preached again, they said, you know what, it's better to obey God than men. And that's what Peter did. He's not going back on that when he wrote these words in 1 Peter chapter 2 about obeying the authorities. What he's talking about here is the proper line of authority. We know from Paul writing in Romans chapter 13 about the higher authorities and all authorities that we have are ordained of God. This is one thing, if you've been in the military, and one of the things that you learn when you go into the military and basic training is what constitutes proper lines of authority. You obey those over you, but if they give you orders that conflict with those who are over them, you go with the higher authority. What was happening here in Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 6 here, was the authority that was invested in the Jewish leaders was under the umbrella authority of God. And when they violated God's authority, Peter and John went with the higher authority, which is God. And that's what we should do. We should do that in all things. We obey God, but we also obey authorities when it doesn't conflict with our obedience to God. And we need to stand on that. Well, we're out of time today. I want to thank you for listening. The greatest obedience authorities when you put your faith in Christ. I hope you've done that. Thanks for listening. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.